Heavily armored knights were favored for a variety of reasons. One is that by 1,000, even a small number of them operating in effective teams could decide a battle. These charges had to be timed carefully. It wasn't simply a case of the knights riding out and indiscriminately running down their infantry. But they were extremely well equipped. They were able to move into battle close in close order and push their opponents off the battlefield. In the densely wooded and broken terrain of northern Europe, actually these types of warriors operated quite well. And Europe really didn't lend itself to the kind of light cavalry tactics that you saw in the steppes or the arid climates of the Middle East. In addition, the knights were also associated with changes in organization. I mentioned in the one of the previous lectures the development of feudal arrangements, and that is in order to maintain these knights, who became increasingly specialized and expensive, vassals of a lord were handed out property. In the 9th, 10th, and 11th century, these would be manors. As we shall see in Outremer, in the Levant, it could be any variety of property. It could be plantations. It could be the profits of justice. But whatever the property was, you, in turn, as a vassal, then got together your knights and vassals to make sure that you had an adequate number of men to meet the military obligation you owe to your lord. And so you have the so-called classic feudal arrangement. This is not to be confused with the manorial economic arrangement, the way land and the soil was exploited. The two are actually separate issues. Feudalism refers to a military political arrangement, and it was originally devised in Carolingian Europe in order to provide these heavily armored warriors. And by 1000, these men were quite expensive. They had to have at least four horses. A destrier, that is a war horse, who was purposely bred for battle. These were powerful, large horses. They would look something like a modern Clydesdale. Horses that were bred for strength and endurance in northwestern Europe, in Belgium, and parts of France. You also had palfreys, or riding horses, because those war horses were so powerful that if you tried to ride them to battle, your back would be thrown out. They were only used for a limited amount of time in battle. You always had backup horses. You needed a squire to attend on them. Every knight had a whole retinue of men supporting him. There was the expense of arms. Now the chainmail covered you entirely. You had to be well versed in the tactics to cooperate with fellow knights. And furthermore, there were improvements on the armaments. Warriors went into battle with the characteristic kite shields, which were much easier to carry and use rather than the round shields of the earlier Middle Ages, because they extended and covered part of your leg. They were lighter, and they protected you from the side as you went into battle. Also, the spear was extended. At the time of the Norman conquest in 1066, the Bayeux Tapestry seems to indicate that warriors either threw the spear or jabbed with it. By the time of the battles of the First Crusade, the spear was being replaced by a lance, and the classic charge had been devised where men charged with the lance, intending that the blow of that lance would knock the opponent off his horse, and then he would be prey to the infantry. These were extremely important developments that were already probably completed by 1000, so that the knight emerged as the premier warrior in medieval Europe. Lords maintained knights sometimes as household retainers. They also got them as vassals who were expected to perform service when called. And in most parts of Western Europe, the vassals owed 30 or 40 days. Norman England was 40 days of military service to the lord whenever the lord decided to call it. If you're going to stay longer, then the lord would have to make it worth your while. You either have to pay them. By the 11th century, there were also other changes occurring, and that was the knights were increasingly becoming so expensive that they were emerging as they had not yet, but they were beginning to emerge as a distinct order. And as a result of the Crusades, during the Crusades, these knights became, in effect, an aristocratic order in and of themselves. The amount of time it took to train men to be horsemen, then to fight, and the types of tactics expected of them meant you had to be trained at birth. And the whole development of knighthood in the 11th and 12th centuries turned these warriors into effectively an aristocratic caste. With that came later notions of chivalry and obligation to one's lord.